one of my biggest fears. When I did my incarceration 20 years, I was just, I'm gonna be all by myself. My mom was the one person that was there to make it better. That was my letters, my visits. That was the help with the commissary. She was there. That was probably one of my biggest fears going in. I was just like, I'm gonna be alone. I didn't have anybody. I'm not gonna get any visits, any letters, any anything. So I was just, I'm gonna be all by myself. That was probably one of my biggest fears. I'm gonna be alone.
Within 3 years of release, two out of three ex-offenders are rearrested. Clearly, something is broken. It's time we strategize ways to prevent repeat offenses. Our brainstorming session starts now. Welcome to A Prisoner's Pardon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Prisoner's Pardon podcast. I'm Michi J, your host. Today, I have a special guest, and her name is Sherita Rayford. Sherita is a wonderful friend of mine who I've wanted to always introduce to this audience. We normally do not get a chance to talk to females that's been incarcerated, and Sherita has, and she has such a good work ethic and just involved in the community. I bet she's doing way more than probably about 90% of us, and she's still moving. And I am just amazed about how much she has done. I'm totally encouraged. I'm totally envious of her as well. I just want to take a little bit of her time today, and I asked her to come on the show. She agreed, and she's here, and I'm so excited for everyone to hear from Sherita. Hi, Sherita.
Hey, how you doing, Michi J?
Hey, I finally got you on the show. You have been so busy, it's hard to get her, you all.
Working school.
Working in school and just doing a lot of things with her family. I mean, a lot of stuff. I'm like, where did you find out about this stuff? How do I go? I want to go too. And she just always has all these great plans. So Sherita, just tell us a little bit about yourself that you would like to share.
Okay, so I'm from Chicago, and at the age of 18, I was incarcerated. In Illinois, they have a law, it's called accountability law. So I was pretty much kind of really at the wrong place at the wrong time, but I was with people. And so just one day, things just kind of went south, sour. So I wound up being charged under the accountability law, accessory to murder, because I gave someone a ride. And so I was sentenced to 20 years at 100%. So I did 20 years at 100%, and I came home at the age of 38. So now I've been home approximately 2 years now.
Oh, wow. So I've never heard of this. Maybe our audience have accountability law.
It's kind of like accessory accountability. Really, it's actually not a good law. So what it is it's like you can be with people and... pretty much they hold you accountable for their crime, you know?
Oh.
So like, I have a co-defendant, and so he was charged as well. But so I was charged under accountability law, and it's not a good law. In Illinois, they're doing a lot of revision to it. They're trying to get rid of it. They're trying to change it because it's a lot of people, it's a lot of women incarcerated under this law.
I bet a lot of women. That's a good point. And you are what, 18?
18. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure explain that. I wanted to make sure I understood what was going on. Wow. That's a good point. I bet a lot of women. So what you were saying, what was going on there?
So for the accountability law, I gave someone a ride and it just went sour. And I was charged with the crime, and there really was no way out of it. I really didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't afford a lawyer. I just kind of got stuck in the system.
Yeah, that's a long time and at such a young age. So what happened there while you were there?
So while I was incarcerated, it was 20 years, so that's a long time span. To begin, I always remained hopeful that the situation would get corrected and I would come home. So I used to do a lot of things like go to the law library. I used to try to fight and just try to kind of bring myself home sooner than later. That didn't happen. It didn't work. I wound up doing the entire 20-year sentence. So while I was incarcerated, what I did was I went to school a lot. I took a lot of classes because my thing was, okay, I'm incarcerated. I don't want to be here. I really feel like I didn't belong there. I shouldn't have been there, but that's a different story. So it was just like my thing was I just wanted to do something for me to get the best out of it and the most out of it for me, so that when I did come home, that I would be a better person. I would know some things, I could learn some things, and I could kind of, I took a lot of classes. I was trying to be a jack of all trades so I can afford myself whatever opportunities possible. So.
And I can tell because you are doing a lot with all the school, and I see how tired you are, and you're still pushing through it. I think you are just an amazing person.
Thank you.
Yeah, you certainly are. So I'm gonna ask the questions. I know you said about the accountability law, but what kind of it sounded like you were with the wrong people. You're around the wrong people. Is that correct? Or okay, what kind of led to that, where you was didn't want to be with your family or something, or was this
Well,
person a
so
family member or what?
no, the person wasn't a family member. So the thing is, the way I grew up, it was a lot of just a lot of dysfunction in my family. So my mother was incarcerated. She did 13 years. So I grew up with my grandmother. My grandmother had me from birth, pretty much. My grandmother's a beautiful person. She took care of us, me and my sister. She raised us. She did the best that she knew how to do. However, she was very like strict and mean. So sometimes that doesn't come off so well. And so for a kid growing up, I think I was a little hurt and resentful. So I used to venture off outside. I'd rather be outside instead of in the house. And sometimes that's not always a good thing because I would venture off outside and get into some of the mixes outside and hang with some of the wrong people or some of the people that wouldn't want to hang with, probably wouldn't want your children hanging with them or things like that. And so it wasn't that I was like a bad or horrible person. Even then, I used to work and I had got my GED. So I had plans and a vision. It's just one day, like I say, I gave someone a ride. And when I gave him a ride, it's just kind of just
Led to that.
events just led to it just kind of being like a nightmare, you know?
Oh, for sure. I'm the person that believes that it is so easy to get into, and it may not look like it at first, but wow, is it hard to get out of? I totally understand. By the grace of God, many of us would have been locked up. It's only by the grace of God we did not get caught up. But you spoke a little bit about your mom. What was your feelings because of your mom? Did you resent her, or did you?
So I loved her, but it was a different, it was so many different emotions. Like when I was younger, I think I was embarrassed because like my grandmother raised me. So she used to have to come to the school and people knew that was my grandmother. So people would want to know where is my mother and things like that. So I just lie and be like, oh, she's out of town, which I guess it wasn't a lie. She was out of town, but not out of town like other people may be out of town. So she was out of town in prison. So that was just, it was a little hard because in such a way, we all need our mother. When I grew up, and at times I wanted or needed my mother, and she wasn't able to be there.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to process, let alone it being done as a kid. What's your feeling towards her now?
Me and my mom, so in the end of the day, though, we were best friends. So I've always been cool with my mom. Like, even when she was incarcerated, like, I used to, like, sneak and accept her phone calls, and I would talk to her. I didn't get to see her much, but I used to talk to her sometimes. And so when I did my incarceration 20 years, she was like the one person that was there to make it better. That was my letters, my visits. That was the help with the commissary. She was there. That was probably one of my biggest fears going in. I was just like, I'm gonna be alone. Like, I didn't have anybody, you know. Like, I'm not gonna get any visits, any letters, any anything, you know. So I was just kind of like, I'm gonna be all by myself. So my mom was there through the whole thing with me. And so even right now today, we pretty good.
That's awesome. I think that's really, really good that even though it was certain things going on there, that you still have this wonderful relationship with your mom. Okay, now with the grandmother, what is that like now? You mentioned
So
she
my
was.
grandmother passed away while I was incarcerated in 2009. So I had to come home without her being here.
Okay. So did you feel like you had to any kind of reconciliation there, even in your with yourself with her, or just understood probably where she was coming from or where certain things needed to be possibly forgiven or anything like that? I can see how that kind of pushed you when someone's strict and mean and really don't know how to work with kids, they can frustrate the kids. And it is such a thing where parents can do things with kids and push them away in that sort of a way.
So with my grandmother, I guess that's why when I started, I'm like, I guess she did the best that she knew how because, you know, even how she was raised and what she went through, she may have lacked or didn't learn certain things. I think she was trying to just be a protector. I think she was trying to protect and prevent things. Like I said, my mother was incarcerated, so she may was trying to prevent that for us or whatever the case may be. But sometimes, you know, how she went about it just kind of it stung, it hurt sometimes. So
And
I do understand. I do forgive it. I actually wish that I could have been able to let her know that what happened wasn't her fault. I think she probably blamed herself or felt the guilt, like her daughter, her granddaughter. These are kids I raised. Like, what am I doing wrong? What did I do? So, if I could have, I would have relieved that for her if I could have, because that's unfair. You know, nobody deserves that. So, for her, I just wish I could have just told her, like, it really wasn't your fault. I don't know if it's anything that she could have done to prevent what happened to me. I mean, yeah, we all probably wish we could have been raised different or done different things, but.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because my mom felt the same way with my brother. And being around other parents, it's a natural thing when your kids go to, what did I do wrong? You know, what, how could I have done better? And yeah, and for you to recognize that and wanted to have that conversation with her, I think is great, incredibly good. And because people need that, I would say reconciliation, that communication, because they do secretly feel that way. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And just to hear the other person come, it's like, oh, you know what? It's not your fault. It's not something that you should feel guilty about. And if anybody's listening that have kids in jail, please do not feel guilty about it. If you can't get over that, I suggest you talk to someone about it so that you can clear those concerns that they may have in their heart. And it can explain something, Sarita, what I've seen with you with how good you are with young people. Is it stemming from how you wished, how your grandmother could have related to you?
Absolutely. So, a lot of what I'm doing with youth now and what I want to do in the future or intend to do stems from my childhood and just growing up and just knowing that things can be different. And so, for me, I just wish that different things were instilled in me. And because I kind of identify with it, I try to give that to the youth. Sometimes kids just need simple love and encouragement. Sometimes it's okay to just love and encourage them. Say, when I grew up, I was kind of intelligent, so I would be on the honor roll and all of these things, but I never got any type of praise or encouragement. It was like it was expected. And so when I didn't do good, it was just kind of like, oh, well, that's on you. If you got to go to summer school, that's on you. I'm not going to pay for it. It kind of felt like it didn't matter one way or the other what I did. So I just did whatever I wanted to do. So with the youth that I deal with, I try to just talk to them and instill in them, get an education. Education is important. And I say that because sometimes when I think about my life, if I could go back, I think I would go back to my freshman year of high school and start there again. And I would have actually taken my education serious. I might have would have taken extracurricular activities just to learn different things and to explore different things and to be exposed to different things. That truly makes a difference in your life. Like to see different things and to go different places allows you to know that wherever you are, you don't have to be stuck there. And so I try to let these kids know that, yeah, we may be in the hood. Yeah, you may grow up here. Yeah, things may not be peaches and cream. Yeah, your mama may not have this. Yeah, it may be hard to eat right now. Yeah, it may be this, but guess what? You can work through it. And you just have to be diligent. You just have to be focused. And I know it's hard to be focused when you lack the essential things, food and this and that. But I'm here to work with you and we could try to figure this thing out. And just so when you turn 18, you can have something better for yourself. You don't have to basically, I guess, be a product of your environment, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, you are naturally that way. And I can tell, and you're not like over, you know how you have some people that can be over lenient? I don't think you're like that. I think you got a good balance where you do want them to have some structure as well as that positive attention. So I've seen that with you, and I'm like, wow, I bet you they are responding. So how are the kids responding? I'm willing to bet they're responding really well with you.
I have one youth, I'll say, like I've had her for 2 years. And when I first got her, she was kind of shy. She didn't really talk. She really kind of wasn't messing with me. And so I just tried to work with her because, mind you, this is my first mentee. I'm really just coming home from incarceration. So I won't say an experiment, but it was an experience. So I'm trying to figure out how to best go about this. I just worked with her and talked to her and just kind of slowly just kind of expose things about my life and what I've been through. And just so I just talked to her and just let her know and show her things we can do. So she's a freshman now. So when she was in like 7th and 8th grade, she wasn't necessarily doing her best in school. She wouldn't go to school. Like she didn't feel good. Her hair wasn't combed, her this, her that. And that's hard to do something with when the kind of the parent allows it. And it's not parent shaming or blaming, but it's like, okay, how do I work with this? So I just steady talk to her and just let her know like how important an education is because she is growing up in a household where she has older sisters and the things that they're doing, she don't want to do. She wants something different. And so I just work with her. So anyway, today it's 2 years later, so she's a freshman. She works after school. I checked her grades yesterday. She has a 3.85 GPA. She got all A's and a B. She's number one of 161 in her class. And it's just all a matter of just I invest in her. Just I talk to her. Sometimes it's just simple things. Say she didn't have a computer. I was able to get my hands on a computer and I gave her a computer. Here, this is so you can do your homework. I don't want to hear you say I couldn't do this because you didn't have a computer. You do have a computer. You have your own computer. So we're going to X that one out the box. Whatever reason and excuse you can give me, we're not going to do it. As far as her hair, how she used to do, I make sure I let her know you have the whole weekend to get your hair done so that Monday you can go to school. So if I need to go to the beauty supply and take you to go get what you need to do your hair, we're going to do that. And I need it done by Monday. It needs to be done by Sunday night so you can get up and go to school Monday. And she's been going to school. She doesn't miss much. She's not perfect. She's missed a couple of days, but it hasn't been like it was. And she's receptive to it. And the only thing that I could think of is I just give it to her as real as I know how, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I know it's because of you, what you're instilling in her. And I'm a believer that all things work together for the good who are in Christ and everything. And I know all things too, for things work out a certain way. What you went through is like paying dividends into her, because I'm sure you wouldn't be the person you are today without going through what you did. And I can just see, you can't teach what you have.
Right.
You have it naturally, and it just falls off of you. And I'm sh sure some other people have told you that kids know people, okay? They know when they see the real thing, and you are the real deal, okay? And now, so those are youth, and you probably work more with the youth, but have you worked with a little older women or young women? Because when we first started our conversation here, you talked about the accountability law, and we mentioned a lot of women get caught up in that. Let's talk about that a little bit. Why do a lot of women get caught up in this accountability law?
Oh man, I don't even know where to start.
We could talk
I
about it just a
mean,
little.
we
That's
could
a
start with this four-letter word, love. We could start there, that they think they're in love or are in love with guys that get them caught up in some things. They're influenced, they're impressionable. These are young girls chasing, finding love in the wrong places. And so then they find themselves in situations, and it's like we said earlier, once you get in them, it's so hard to get out of them. And there are some women in there due to domestic violence reasons, but they aren't under the accountability law. That's a whole different thing. But there are many women there for that also, just kind of did their best to survive a bad situation. And unfortunately, it had to end bad. So.
That makes a lot of sense. So what do you think we can do for our women? Do you think we should have some sort of people in place in high school or in grade school to instill some sort of warning system? Because we know that these young women are going to be susceptible to being influenced by the wrong men
Yeah, I
and
think
that.
so. I personally think that sometimes it's like a taboo, don't want to talk about certain things because you don't want to promote and you don't want to encourage certain things. But for me, like, let's just cut the crap. Let's be real. Like, it's gotta happen. We need to talk about it.
Yes,
Like,
we do.
how long are you not gonna talk about this? So then, okay, just let them do what they want to do. No, let me talk about this so I can help and encourage and let them learn, like, okay, and navigate. Let me help you navigate. You know what I mean? Girls are gonna have boyfriends and boys are gonna have girlfriends or, whatever the case is these days, So let's talk about it. Okay. Like when one of my youth, she kind of likes a boy, and I talked to her about it. I told her the other day, like we talked about, say, domestic violence. I'm like, if you're ever with a boy and he puts his hands on you, I told her that's the end. Never allow, don't be with him ever again. Let it go and just don't do it. Cause I'm like, if he does it once and he apologizes and this and that, it's a possibility he's gonna do it again and again. And before you looked up, you're a battered woman. And so it's just, I don't know how else to give it besides raw. That's what it is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because we talk about a lot here, just lowering the rate of recidivism, lowering not just men, but women. And I think with women and young ladies, we're going to have to go in specifically and hit this area, because this is most of the time why they're there is because of some man around them. It's always to do with a man and lack of a value system for themselves, the love thing, just like you said. We need to teach them what is love, and exactly what you said. You are not a punching bag. Once they start, if they start hitting, you need to leave and don't ever come back because they, like you said, they're going to do it again. And you're going to go lower and lower. And they're doing it for a reason to just to destroy you, that you won't have the power or the think yourself mentally able to survive without them or something. So I think, yes, we have to do something in that area with our young people. I think you would be an excellent person to be talking to women about that and just knowing how to navigate through those relationships. So what else would you? This show just went so quick. We were doing a 30-minute show here, but you touched upon so many things here that I would love to go into more detail about. But what would you say to young women now about themselves and just how to going to school, keeping themselves up, how to be focused, really, because you're extremely focused. What would you say to them?
I would just say, just love yourself. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Love yourself no matter what may be going on, no matter what's happening in the household or what life looks like. It doesn't have to stay that way. Just stay focused and believe in yourself and just stay focused and believe in yourself and invest in yourself. I mean, it starts with education. So just kind of putting the most into an education and maybe going off to college and seeing some things. And don't get me wrong, college isn't for everybody, and that's fine. But just to find something, whether it's a trade, whether it's you just got to stay busy. I believe that I'm learning that like extracurricular activities help. It builds confidence. Join something, join some type of a team, play basketball, cheer, run track, do something where you can do it and you can watch yourself excel and be proud of yourself. Because I learned that kind of when you're proud of yourself, it kind of pushes you to want to do something else. Being proud of yourself feels good. So often we're like ashamed of ourselves, or we feel we have low self-esteem or things like that. Like, nah, why can't we be proud of ourselves? Why can't we be just beautiful young people?
I love that. Thank you so much. And parents, I strongly encourage you, if you're having problems with your teens and you don't know how to communicate, find someone like Sharita that can help you know how to communicate and before it gets too late, because we see where this can lead and we don't want it to lead to our women or our men just being influenced by the wrong people. So, well, that's it. Sharita, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm pretty sure everyone is going to enjoy listening to what you have to say.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, thank you for listening, and may you have a week filled with blessings. Thanks for tuning in to the show. For more information on our guests and resources, visit prisonersparting.com. If you're enjoying the content, follow, like, and subscribe to this podcast. Also, please be sure to leave a rating and review. Until next time, God bless.